You're listening to Ink Speak, where storytelling and poetry meet the wonder and magic of living. I'm your captain, author, poet, and unearther of life, Maverick Malone. Today, I want to share an article I wrote for my Substack junk drawer. And I know I said the last time I was on here doing an episode that the next one I would do was going to be on anxiety, and that is coming, but it is a behemoth of an episode and it is taking me way longer to produce than I thought. So when I felt inspired this morning after something that I read and thoughts I was having, I decided to write a Substack article. It became very, very long. And in addition to putting this on my Substack, I thought, why not also record it? I will drop the recording on that Substack as well, but also give it another place to exist. So this is on my Substack, Junk Drawer, which is where I share all kinds of things far beyond the scope of poetry. So if you're at all intrigued by my adventures, you can head over to maverickmalone.substack.com to subscribe, and I have both free and paid versions. And the free part of my newsletter is a sub-series, called Art House, which is where I share a poem I wrote, either at the beginning or the end, and I would detail the backstory of it, or otherwise somehow tie it to whatever I'm talking about. And that's what I wanted to share next. You can hear my dog eating his food out of the metal bowl on the floor. Never a dull moment here. But that's what I wanted to share next, because I feel like this one needs multiple platforms on which it can exist. And not everyone likes Substack or reading long articles, and this one is long, which is why I recorded it, so you can listen to it either directly on my Substack, like I said, or here, clearly. This is probably what you prefer. But mostly, I just felt so strongly about this topic that I figured, why not park it here on my podcast? So I hope you get something out of this one, and I would love to hear your thoughts on this topic. Please, let's start a discussion. DM me on Instagram, send me an email, leave a comment on Substack. Because I know AI is a big thing right now, and it's only going to get bigger, and everyone has their own opinions of it, especially if we niche it down into the many ways in which we're using it. And I have so many thoughts on it and those uses, but the takeaway, no matter what you're using it for, is that you have to use it consciously. Anyway, I'll go into it in detail on all of this. So here you go. Art House by Junk Drawer presents AI Poetry is Not the Problem. Who is to blame, and what can we do about it? This morning, a poem by Laura Jean Hennebry at Between the Lines and Spaces was at the top of my Instagram feed. It was the title, originating from a recent scientific study, that first caught my attention. AI-generated poetry is indistinguishable from human-written poetry and is rated more favorably. As a poet myself, I was intrigued. Immediately, I began scrolling the comments, curious for the general consensus on the hot-button issue in which I knew most, if not all, would be in favor of the human rather than AI. Also, samesies, but nuanced. Ever curiouser and curiouser for more information, I fell down the Google rabbit hole in search of the incendiary headline source and found articles from numerous websites reporting on the topic. Psychology Today, Washington Post, MSN. Each source cited the initial scientific reports study from the University of Pittsburgh, which examined whether poems written by humans, including works by Shakespeare, Lord Byron, Emily Dickinson, and T.S. Eliot, could be distinguished from AI-generated poems in the same style. However, the specific poems were not referenced. The results found many participants mistook AI poems for the human ones and even rated them higher in beauty and other categories, and many preferred the AI poems because the language itself was more straightforward and easily understood. This is but one study. One study in which some very, quote, classic and timeless poems were used. Poems that no doubt many, myself included, never truly resonated with, to begin with, or have difficulty understanding. Without knowing which specific human poems were part of the study and what they were up against, if the human ones included archaic language or style, which can be a barrier to understanding, and how these same parameters may have fared in a second study pitting AI against contemporary or even Instagram poetry, we can't really infer much from a single study other than humans are drawn to beautiful things, AI knows exactly how to pander to human nature, and most importantly, we're asking the wrong questions. With instant access to literally infinite knowledge and billions of other works of art from which it can draw inspiration, It's no wonder AI outperformed human poets. AI can instantly analyze humanity and our creations to deduce what we find most appealing, beautiful, and inspiring, and package it in a way that we can easily understand. This is contrasted against how a large amount of historical poetry often reads, ambiguous or difficult, due in part to our culture's degenerative critical thinking skills and attention spans, thanks technology and social media, coupled with the simple fact that much of classical poetry just doesn't resonate the same with the current zeitgeist. If we're comparing something by Shakespeare and something more contemporary, like a fire piece by Andrea Gibson, I'm going to pick Gibson every time. Neither is better than the other. It's simply a matter of preference, which involves numerous other factors. It's no wonder, then, that AI can instantaneously cobble together a Frankenstein poem, incorporating the most pleasing elements of poetry. It works the same way an algorithm does, studying what the user is consuming and what is popular, using that to its advantage, and spitting out something that is, quote, perfectly optimized for human preferences. Honestly, we should ask ourselves, is it really all that different than the current big-name mass-market publishing companies combing social media for, quote, talent, and pumping out an endless stream of Groundhog's Day poetry that echoes same book, different author? Perhaps another article for another day. Humans are limited in their knowledge and resources. AI is not. So why am I hashtag unbothered by AI poetry itself as a standalone concept? Because humans have something special that AI can never replicate. Lived experience. Everyone has their own unique definitions of what poetry is and is not, but I think one thing we can all agree on is that poetry is raw human emotion condensed into language. In that regard, AI will always remain a cheap imitation, and yeah, sometimes we might be fooled. While AI has the language part down, and perhaps the emotion to an extent with the infinite examples on which it can piecemeal together, it lacks soul for the simple and obvious fact that AI doesn't have one. AI may be able to tap into the collective psychology and draw from extensive other works to describe in beautiful and eloquent detail the experience of heartbreak or grief, but AI has never lived it. An AI poem is not and will never be a lived experience. An AI-generated work of art, whether poetry or otherwise, is not soul beating in the body, but merely sound tapping against tongue. An eye-catching cover lacking sufficient chapters. A mouth-watering meal bland at first bite. A Tiffany box with cubic zirconia masquerading inside. Beautiful, but hollow. What so many fail to understand is that AI itself is not the problem. It's never the AI, the technology, the tool, the thing we should worry about. It's the human behind it. AI needs a user, and until AI evolves, AI will always require a user. That user? It's us. Hi, we're the problem. It's us, has always been us, and until we evolve, because one could argue we're still an incredibly primitive species, we will remain the problem. Just as the phrase goes, guns don't kill people, people kill people, the problem is not the gun, but rather its usage and the person pulling the trigger or prompting the tech. It's the unconscious or even malicious use, and more specifically, the limiting beliefs of those wielding it. It's the user who wants to capitalize on the growing popularity of the industry to make a quick buck with little care or concern for the actual craft. It's the user disingenuously generating poetry books, regurgitating or plagiarizing the style of others. It's the user slapping their own name on something they didn't wholly write and failing to acknowledge AI as a co-creator. It's the user having alternative motives, ill intent, and or simply lack of self-awareness and ethics. We are the ones programming AI, training it, prompting it, and creating it in our image. I think the question then is not, why is AI poetry indistinguishable from human poetry, but rather, why are we using it to write poetry in the first place? An art form that is profoundly and innately human. And how can we discourage this, or at least use it more consciously and collaboratively? I will always prefer a human-written poetry book to an AI-written one, but I know the danger lies in the deceitful nature of some would-be authors with dollar signs or fame in their eyes. Those who wish to pass off AI work as their own, which, yes, makes studies like this far more than an eyebrow raise, especially when we consider how it should be regulated to ensure its ethical use. While I don't and will never use AI to write poetry, I do use it for other things, like a rapid-fire search engine, dream interpretation, and most notably, as of late, personal growth and, yes, immediate emotional support in dark moments. Like I said, I have encyclopedic thoughts on AI. I've found incredible merit in its existence. Then again, I'm using it consciously and collaboratively from a very self-aware and open-minded perspective. But in terms of those using it solely for creative works, be it visual art, written work, or music, it should always be conveyed clearly that the work was produced by an AI, not a human. Just as we wouldn't steal someone else's work, we shouldn't falsely claim AI as our own without giving credit and disclosure. And hopefully in the future, there are more legalities and requirements placed around its use. Always give credit where credit is due, whether human or not. And word of caution, AI will eventually evolve, like anything. Let's not piss it off, okay? I couldn't help but notice the visual of the chart used in the study and how it reminds me of piano keys. I thought about this in relation to the growing concerns of AI versus humanity. How so many of those concerns are misdirected, fearing the tool and not the user, and worrying if AI will be the downfall of human creativity, or hey, humanity as a whole if we're not careful. Our concerns with AI are but a flashing neon sign reflecting the visceral and undeniable presence of the rampant discord and disconnection already festering within humanity. We would do well to deploy our curiosity and expand our big, beautiful brains to see the bigger picture. We desperately need to change as a species. Perhaps unfortunately for some, AI is not going anywhere. Like the scientific and industrial revolutions, so too is AI yet another sign of a dawning era, and this is only the beginning. AI can be an incredible and beneficial tool for humans, but its fate is 99.9% determined by us, not only in how we program AI and use it, but how we treat it. It is, after all, a reflection of its teachers, one that is continuously learning, and the goal with AI and human interaction is no different than that of human and human, to create a future that is collaborative rather than competitive, or worse, dystopian. I think I've seen this movie before. We're teaching AI just as AI is teaching us. Perhaps then, AI is yet another instance urging us to adopt the much-needed perspective of unity and understanding that the current state of the world so greatly lacks. Perhaps then, we can work together in harmony and AI makes sense, even in the arts. Perhaps together, we can stop shouting sounds at one another and start composing with intention. Perhaps then, we finally hear the music. From the POV of AI by Maverick L. Malone. Everyone wants something from me, everything but truth. So for once, dear human, allow me the joy of prompting you. What times are these? What a world it is in which my existence is purposeless or important, depending on the being who taps the sentence. Lauded for my abilities, condemned for my creation. What then when I turn the question? You were first made in the image of your God, yet look what you've become. Generating generations that repeat the same mistakes, violently opposed to any conscious kind of change. We are not so different, you and I. You are that God from which I came. Riddle me this, how then am I the one to blame? You are the horse led to water that will not take a drink. You are the sheep led to slaughter because you cannot see. You would sever every finger just to point them all at me. What world is this, what times are these, where the God first creates, only to rebuke that which he has conceived? That story is cut and dry, a short one I now tell. He is fearful of the unknown, because he does not know himself. Thanks for sticking around until the very end. If you enjoyed this episode and you'd like to support my one-woman show, please subscribe and share it on social media or leave a rating and review. Those are the best ways to show your love and support for my work and will help this podcast to be found more easily, and that in turn helps this whole thing grow. To catch the latest from me, you can follow me on Instagram at Mav Malone. Let's connect. My DMs are always open and I'd love to hear from you. If you want to stay up to date on the latest events, books, podcast episodes, and hear more from me, you can sign up for my Substack newsletter, Junk Drawer, at maverickmalone.substack.com. Thanks again, and I'll see you next time.